This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Howdy, third hour here on Tiki and Tierney. What's happening? Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, one more hour. And before we get out of here, but a lot to squeeze in. Malcolm Jenkins is going to stop by. Got the dub last night. He's back with the Saints, obviously. Saints come back and they beat the Chargers. And we are doing this all from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. As we wait for Malcolm to give us a buzz, a couple things to squeeze in. I know you saw this here, Teak, but the University of Florida, the Gators, have suspended all football operations. Five new positive tests just came back. This is only a couple of days in front of their matchup with LSU. So that's obviously not ideal. That's number one. Dustin Johnson, PGA golfer, superstar golfer, he just tested positive.
Yep, as did Cristiano Ronaldo.
As did Ronaldo. Yep, that was, I think I saw that yesterday. Was that this morning or yesterday?
Probably late last night.
It
just came over this morning to us.
Yep. So that's a few things. You know, and we're talking about trades. I meant to squeeze this in before. Listen, I don't know what you're going to get for him. It's less about that, but I want to at least ask you from a running back, what if you see any evidence of bounce, because it's tough to delineate between having no holes or just not having the burst to bounce through whatever hole might be there. Once that team trades Le'Veon Bell, as they're trying, you get Le'Veon Bell in the right situation, can he help somebody at some point?
Yeah, I mean, of course he can. He can still move. He's just got to stay healthy. It's been a while now with hamstring injuries. And you remember this offseason, he was, you know, touting being, you know, zero or whatever it was, 2% body fat or 3% body fat. You're not supposed to be 3% body fat. You know, people that are 3% body fat are body, you know, builders. Like they're showing off their body, and it's unhealthy.
Yep.
And it's proven to be the case with his hamstrings and things like that. I think he's valuable. It's just, he's just in a toxic spot, it feels like, in New York.
Well, he goes and airs his grievances on social media, which is so childish. I hear you. It's a horrendous situation, but bad signing for the team, bad situation for the player, good situation for this player though, Teak. And, he's got the resume, couple of Super Bowls, 3-time Pro Bowl. They got the win last night. It was a little tight for, actually, a little harrowing for a while before they came back and they pulled it out. But we're talking about the Saints, one of their terrific defensive players, Malcolm Jenkins, who's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Malcolm, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Thanks for hopping on,
bud. Yeah, we can't complain. You guys can't either, getting another tough win against the surprisingly really good Chargers with a rookie quarterback. What'd you think about Justin Herbert and his, I guess it's now his third start. What'd you think about him?
Yeah, I was impressed, man. I think, you know, the two things I always look for in young quarterbacks is how do they deal with, you know, pressure? Like when you blitz them, how do they deal with that? And then how well do they take care of the football? And I think, you know, he does both really well. Obviously, he's a big quarterback. He's mobile. They run a little bit, you know, it can run a pro style offense, and then they start running, you know, zone reads and quarterback keeps and things like that. But, you know, he stepped up, and even when we did hit him, he didn't get rattled. Still made a bunch of, you know, throws that were, I thought, some really good throws. And he took care of the football. And so that's always a winning formula for a quarterback. And it's, you know, usually surprising when you see that from a rookie.
Yeah, you don't usually see that from rookie, which is why you usually, like, come after them. You blitz these young kids. And I got to wonder, you know, It's on him because he's played some really good teams over his first, you know, three starts. He only have one win, or first four starts, I should say. He's only got one win. But, you know, when you go after a young quarterback and he responds the way that he did to you guys, does that catch you off guard? Because I wonder, I mean, there were two quick touchdowns, and then a third one later, that he looked like a pro, man. It didn't seem like he was just stepping into the NFL level.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wasn't surprised. Honestly, it's what I've seen on tape. You know, I didn't see him flinching when they were pressuring him in any of these other games. I saw him make big plays down the field, big arm, you know, against Tampa.
Yep.
And so you see, you know, these things, these tells that, you know, he's fine. Like, this game doesn't rattle him. You know, the pressure doesn't rattle him. And, again, he takes really good care of the football, which is the main, you know, part. I think that's the hardest thing for young quarterbacks to understand. The only thing I saw on film, you know, that I was a little bit, or as a defender, you get excited about, but as his teammates, I'm pretty sure I'd be concerned, is this, you know, he doesn't fly much.
Yes.
And so he takes a lot of hits. And whenever you're talking about a franchise quarterback, somebody who you're dependent on, you don't want them taking too many hits.
Yeah, but you'd rather have to. I'm sorry, Malcolm.
You're excited about it, but that's the only thing I can knock I have. But I was impressed.
No, I got you, and I'm sure you guys would agree as former players. I mean, you'd rather have a guy who's not afraid to lower the pads and kind of coach that out of him because it shows the toughness and all that stuff, rather than a guy who's, you know, who's nobody's a wimp in the NFL. Certainly wouldn't imply that. You're playing in the NFL, you have some toughness to you. But you know what I mean. There's certain quarterbacks who are just not as tough as others. And I would think that you'd rather have a guy that, after all, gets it and learns to slide, but he's got that youthful energy and he's not afraid to lower the pads and try to pop somebody, right?
No, I don't need that out of a quarterback.
Not at all. Not at all?
Not at all.
We've seen what it's done. Like, think about Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Unless you're Lamar Jackson.
Wow. Right, yeah. If you're fast enough to not get hit, yeah. I mean, I don't want my quarterback taking hits.
All right. Well, so hopefully your quarterback doesn't take hits because he might break in half.
We're not even going to speak that into existence.
Of course not.
I rebuke that right now.
No, listen. Drew is an all-time great human being and an all-time great quarterback. We know that. We're talking about Malcolm Jenkins, by the way. But listen, I would be disingenuous if I didn't present to you what I presented to our audience. Now, I'm sure you'll refute this, and I'll respect it, but he's not the same guy, man. I mean, I look at the Saints offense, Malcolm, and it's, you know, last night, the first six possessions, 3, 4, 5 plays, punt, pick, punt, 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 field goal. And I know that Michael Thomas is in there, but I just don't see the same quarterback. No crime in that. He's 41. Is he still good enough to win the Super Bowl is what I'm asking. I'm worried. You tell me that I'm nuts.
Well, I think there's a lot of games that will, you know, either prove you right or prove you wrong between now and the Super Bowl. I think Drew Brees is more than capable enough to win against any team in this league. Is he getting older? For sure. And I don't think anybody on this team right now, maybe besides Alvin Kamara, is really thinking that they're playing their best ball right now. I think as a team, there are a lot of things that we need to get better at. Last night was definitely a slow start, but I think the Drew Brees you saw on the back half of that game that led us down the field, you know, on back-to-back drives to get us in position to win, you know, he's more than capable of leading us to where we need to go as a team.
Yeah, no, I think that's without question. It's just a matter of how long he can do it. We also started the show, Malcolm, talking about Michael Thomas, your embattled wide receiver, it seems like. We don't know all the details, and I'm not going to expect you to comment on it. But Sean Payton.
Maybe you will.
Maybe you will, but it's more about just the implications. Sean Payton, you know, took a definitive action. Easily could have just said, Michael Thomas is out because his ankle is still acting up. He deactivated him because of a fight that apparently took place. One, did Sean handle that the right way? And I guess more importantly, in the locker room, how was it received and how was Michael being received after that?
Well, I think all of that stuff, you know, is obviously was handled and needed to be addressed. I think everybody's on board with Sean Payton's decision, but I also I don't think there's any ill feelings or anything towards Mike. We know for us to get to where we need to be as a team, we need Michael Thomas on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knows that, you know, in being accountable to his teammates. But, you know, sometimes things come up and they need to be addressed. We are not immune to that. And I think, you know, we'll do a good job of handling that as we move forward.
But as a teammate, are there things like, because the way it was presented, Malcolm, it's that, I don't know, breach of trust, that might be a little bit too strong, but are there things that he needs to show the team that he's still all in?
No, I don't. I mean, not from my seat. I think everybody knows, you know, that we are all highly competitive athletes, and Michael is one of those guys who is always, you know, on edge and plays, you know, with that chip on his shoulder. But I think all of us need to also understand, you know, where those lines are that we can't cross. And, you know, for us, we've counted on them before. So one mistake doesn't change how we feel about our teammates. We know where his heart is. We know he wants to he's a huge part of his team and wants to be part of the reason that we have success. And he will be.
Yeah, no, and Michael, Malcolm, it's interesting when you talk about Michael, because with him and Drew and Alvin Kamara, who you just mentioned, the defense's side of the ball, which has done so well. I mean, we've been talking about the Saints for the last 3 years. This team is viable. It should have a shot at the Super Bowl at a title. But are you guys starting to feel an urgency? I mean, obviously you got one in Philly, but are you guys starting to feel an urgency, because that window with Drew is closing, and you never know what's going to happen with really anybody in any season. Are you guys feeling an urgency?
Yeah, I think there's definitely an urgency to have been as close as this team has been in the last, you know, three seasons, to win as many games as they've won, but not have gotten to the one that actually counts. Mm-hmm. I think haunts everybody. And when you look at our roster, you look at the guys that we have in the room, you recognize that you have an opportunity. But that's all it is an opportunity, unless you take full advantage of it. So I think there is an urgency for us to win games, but that urgency can't change the process. We've never been a team that focuses all the way, you know, to the Super Bowl in week 4 or 5. We take it one game at a time, stack up as many wins as you can. And then eventually you'll get to your goal. So our biggest thing right now, the focus and the urgency, is how do we improve from week to week? And there's a lot of things that we need to improve on as a team. And so that's really where the urgency is. How do we attack each week?
So we're talking to Malcolm Jenkins, and we know you're doing some stuff with Old Spice. We'll certainly talk about that in a minute. I do think that the NFL fans would love to hear a guy who's respected, a guy who's been around, you know, 12 years like you have, multiple Super Bowls, a couple of Pro Bowls as well. What have you seen? We hope that he doesn't play, because that means that something happened to Drew. But behind the scenes, Jameis Winston, I'll call it the rehabilitation of Jameis Winston. We both like him.
Yeah.
We think he's got a great personality. You know, he's an affable young man. He's got to tighten up some mechanical things, or at least what he thinks he can do. But his talent's undeniable. Is he just kind of chilling and coasting, or do you sense that he's really using this time with Drew and with Coach Payton, so when he's unleashed next year, wherever it might be, he's going to be a flat-out baller? What are you seeing from Jameis?
I mean, right now, I see a guy that's fully committed to his role on the team right now. So whether that's, you know, if that's our backup quarterback and he's taking scout team reps, you know, he's trying to make us better as a defense, you know, and continuing to develop. I see somebody committed to really developing his own skills and putting in the work after practice and kind of having this idea that when his opportunity comes, whenever that is, that he'll be ready. But I also see somebody who's still contributing, you know, as a leader. He hasn't let this moment, you know, where he went from being, you know, top draft pick to starting quarterback, leader, to now being, you know, further down on the roster. He's still very vocal. He's still the biggest hype man we got on the team. He's, you know, encouraging, you know, his teammates, and very, very engaged. And I think that's something that, to me, I have a lot of respect for, because, you know, I've seen many players who aren't happy with their role or aren't happy where they are, you know, really take that into a negative direction. But, man, he's a positive personality in our locker room. And definitely happy to have him.
Yeah, no, we like him. We like him, right? T, you and I both like him a lot.
That's good to hear. All right, Malcolm, we all know that, obviously, you're a great football player. You've had unbelievable success as a safety, a Super Bowl champion. But you've now joined this initiative with Old Spice, and I'm an Old Spice guy, so I love this. But this is fantastic. 10-year initiative to help all young guys feel confident in their own skin and help impact positively U.S. high school graduation rates. Tell us a bit about this partnership with Old Spice.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, obviously, I've used Old Spice a lot, but I'm more excited to partner with them in this 10-year initiative to raise the graduation rates for young men, and even more importantly, to really create some dialogue and safe spaces for Black boys to feel comfortable in their own skin. And we've done that through a few screenings with young men with the film Black Boys that I'm executive producer on, that really kind of dives into the humanity and the spectrum of humanity of Black boys and how it's under attack as early as, you know, elementary school all the way through adulthood, and just really being able to showcase, you know, who we are and our creativity, our intellectualism, our physical bodies, our emotions, all of those things. You know, Black boys don't oftentimes get to see that represented in themselves, and Old Spice is doing a great job of creating some conversations. We popped in on some high school kids earlier virtually and just had dialogue and hear high school kids talk about, you know, the need for mental health and the need and how it feels when, you know, they walk into spaces and they know that people are afraid of them simply because they're Black boys, and what that does to their confidence, what that does to how they see themselves. You know, these are conversations that we don't talk about that often, and sometimes they're a little bit, they're less in your face. They're not as, you know, overt as what we think racism looks like, but they're very, very impactful. And so hopefully through the film Black Boys, which is streaming on Peacock, you know, we'll continue to create the dialogue that we need. And as we create these safe spaces, we also focus, you know, with Old Spice on how do we create success by raising the graduation rate.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing initiative. And you founded this company, Listen Up Media, a couple of years ago. Black Boys is your first project here. It's airing on Peacock Thursday, I believe. So 2 days, and you can stream it on Peacock. So just go find it in partnership with Old Spice, which is fantastic. But Listen Up Media is interesting to me, Malcolm. I know that your voice has been one of the more prominent ones with the social justice movements going around the National Football League. What else are you planning with your voice? And it's either through your media company, you individually, you know, what's next for you? Not that I'm pushing you into retirement, but you know what I mean? I feel like there's always growth with you. I know this cause we've done some events with you, and everybody loves your energy, your initiative. What's next?
Yeah. The reason I started Listen Up was because I was frustrated in how, you know, my voice was being carried through the media. You know, I want to deliver this message, but, you know, the quotes get chopped up, or they don't deliver it in the way that you want, or they only highlight a certain part. And so I wanted to take control of my own narrative, and that's why I started Listen Up Media, Black Boys being the first project that we came on. But I'm really, really excited to create Black Girls, because I think Black girls have a unique intersectionality of not only just the racism and systemic racism that affect all Black people, but also sexism and things that affect women, and kind of that overlapping oppression that they deal with is very unique, and I want to highlight that. But I'm also working on another documentary dealing with the disparities in wealth between African Americans and white Americans, and how, you know, our history that we like to throw in the past is very much connected to today. And so it's really just about, the goal is how do we tell compelling, you know, stories about, you know, things that are affecting us as a society, but not just documentaries and the heavy hitting stuff, but how do we showcase, you know, how do we tell Black stories and about the creatives, about the emotions, the, you know, intelligence, you know, or the variety of us, and because oftentimes we only see, you know, ourselves as subhuman or superhuman and nothing in between. And I think that's very, very important, not only for Black people, but for everyone to be able to see Black people in their spectrum of humanity, knowing that we're not monolithic, that we have huge variations of who we are, and we want to express and be able to boldly be who we are in, as an individual in a society that really, you know, hasn't always allowed us to be just us.
Listen, I mean, Super Bowl champ, obviously a really good player, but it's, as we've known for a long time, using these platforms for a lot of good. It's good having you on the show, man. Best of luck with the project. Send us some Old Spice swag. I'm a fan too, man. It goes back to my grandfather back in the day. I like Old Spice. Where's our stuff, man?
We got you. We'll take care of
it. I love it.
Michael, thank you, Malcolm.
Malcolm, good luck, buddy.
Yeah, definitely. Good luck to you, man. Good having you back on the show. Interesting dude. Smart guy, obviously.
Oh, he's fantastic, man.
More important than football. He's going to be doing a lot of stuff for a long time. He is a voice that is necessary and is good. All right, Teak, let's get an update. No, not an update. Let's get a break here. Coming up, though, a little CBS action tonight. Josh Allen, the MVP train rolling through. Tennessee trying to derail it. Can they? We'll talk about the upstart Bills and the Titans, both undefeated. It's going to be awesome. That's next. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here, as always, Teak and Tierney Show. It is 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. All right, Teak and Tierney. Good chat with Malcolm Jenkins. Always interesting when we have him on. We've had him on a bunch over the years. Teak, the game tonight, I mean, this is sporting heaven. So the NBA is done. That's a wrap. LeBron gets his chip, you know, honoring Kobe. Lakers back on top. Baseball playoffs going on. In case you missed it, by the way, Clayton Kershaw scratched. He will not pitch tonight. Hopefully they get him back. They said almost definitely for game four, maybe game three, but he's not pitching game two. The point is there's still some sports to juggle during the week, and one of them is tonight, which is just an absolute gift. Not only is it just NFL football on a Tuesday, but it's two undefeated teams. It's on our network. It's great for us, CBS.
Yeah. Two of five undefeated teams. So there will only be four undefeated teams after this game, BT.
Amazing.
Which is great.
You can craft, you know, if you want to kind of embellish, you could probably say, well, you know, this guy's kind of in the MVP race. And there's really right now, there's no order. There's Josh Allen. There's Aaron Rodgers.
Russell Wilson.
There's Russell Wilson, obviously. And to me, that's it. Like the Bradys and the Mahomeses and the Lamars. Yeah. Lamar's not even close this year. But everybody else, to me, maybe I'm missing one person, is a distant part of the conversation. But tonight we get to watch a guy who, you know, after year one was deemed a project. He was very erratic in college despite his tantalizing physical gifts.
Yeah.
And here we are. This is what coaching will do for you.
Look, we knew that he was talented skill-wise. Like, got the tools. He's big. He's strong. He's athletic. He can throw the rock. You know, maybe one of the strongest arms in the NFL. But the development was going to be the factor. It was like, is this the right organization? We know that he's got a really good head coach, but he's defensive minded. So who's the offensive guy that's gonna get him straight? And they've done an unbelievable job. And every time we talk about his development, I always go back to the same thing. They made him feel comfortable in what he was doing. And whether it was just be a runner, right? You don't got to be able to read defenses right now. Let's have you do one, two read, you know, throws. We'll do a lot of play action, and let you just feel good as a winner. And that's, it started slowly, but then once it started happening, they quickly made the postseason, and now here we are in this kind of prove it year for him. And he is proving it to great aplomb. You know, Josh Allen is one of those guys who a lot of people had doubts about, and now he's going to be on a national standalone Tuesday night football stage, which is going to be awesome. And it's on our air, so we're looking forward to watching this. It's going to be great.
He was a mess in college.
Yeah,
really.
Like, he was erratic, man. The ball would like fly all over the place, and he would miss like wide open dump downs. So forget like dig route or a go or something like that. He'd miss a check down.
Yeah,
he would sail him because he was so fundamentally like raw. Mm-hmm. And now he's corrected that pretty quickly, man.
Daboll is going to be a head coach.
Yeah, I think so as well.
The work that he's done, and obviously McDermott deserves the credit, ownership for the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. They've done what a lot of teams, we know who they are, don't have to always go through the list, you know who they are, but those teams who have done the really the complete antithesis of surrounding their young quarterbacks with, you know, multiple weapons, an offensive line, a visionary as either a head coach or as an offensive coordinator, and that's what they've done, and they've added to it seemingly by the year, went out and they got Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that I have my absolute answer on the Bills. The first two games, they played that one team. They played the Dolphins before the Dolphins found a little mojo recently, which they have. You know, so they were supposed to start 2-0. I know they played the Raiders. I'm missing I'm forgetting the another team that they played that's much better than that one team and the Dolphins. But still, and even when they got the Raiders, like the Raiders were a little
– Rams. They beat the Rams.
The Rams. That's right, the Rams.
Which is a good win. It was a tight
one. Definitely a good win.
35-32.
Yep. Was that game – that was out west, right?
It was in Buffalo.
It was in Buffalo, and the Bills were up big, and the Rams came storming back that game. That's what it was. The Rams, they were obliterating them early. The Rams came back. And you know what's funny? Like, that's the kind of game, provided you don't lose that kind of game, that's the kind of game that's got to be so advantageous for the coaching staff. Hey, guys, listen, you think we arrived? I don't know exactly. I think they were up 20-3. I could look in a minute.
21-3, yeah.
All right, 21-3. They can use that tape, and, you know, the win-loss column didn't get dented, but there's still visual evidence. If you think we're as good as you know, people are chirping out there that aren't in the building right now, we've got a lot to self-correct and self-assess here. So, and the Bills are one of these teams that
– yeah, they went down in that game, by the way, BT. They went down 32-28.
Oh, they had to come back and take the lead. Josh, there was a fourth down penalty.
What was this? This was an 11-play, 75-yard drive. They ran 4 minutes and 15 seconds off the clock and gave the Rams the ball back with 15 seconds left. That's how you win. You win. If you can make a drive when you have to make a drive – Josh Allen, he did it, man. You got to give him credit. Yes, they should have ran away with that game because they were blowing them out in the first half. But that's not the NFL. All these games end up being tight one way or another.
Yeah, and the other thing I like about, and you know, just flashed on the screen there, but you know, it's not like their turnover margins like plus five, like the Titans plus five or plus six. Granted, you'd like to see it a little bit more than plus one, but it speaks to, outside of that Rams game, a consistency in terms of, well, they're not putting on the turf and getting a little lucky. They're playing consistent enough football where, you know, they've had to overcome. It's not – they haven't gotten lucky. I think what you've seen with the Bills is this is who they are. I do believe that there are certain teams in the NFL, and if I really think, I could probably identify one or two now, that whose record I don't believe reflects ultimately where they'll wind up.
Yep.
But what's interesting about the psychology of how America, all right, processes the Bills, tell me if you feel this. There's certain teams that are, I don't want to say that are, that maybe out of jealousy. And I used to do this with the Pats, like, oh, this is the year of the Pats. Oh, the Pats aren't as good. Oh, the Pats, this is the year. They're vulnerable. Yeah, I think people do that with the Pats. People do that with teams. There's a little fatigue. You see the same team over and over, and you kind of illuminate deficiencies rather than harp on what they do well.
Yeah.
A team like the Bills, and even to a lesser extent, a team like the Browns that have been down for a long time, even though the Bills made the playoffs a year ago and even before that with Tyrod, but like the Browns for sure, the Bills are getting almost like the sympathy vote. Like, I feel like America is behind the Bills.
Yeah, well, they're good.
You know what? I know that they're good, but they're behind them. It's almost like the little engine, and I think like NFL fans are trying to help lift them up. It's a cool story.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it feels that way. The same thing could be said for the Tennessee Titans, to be honest. But I have a hard time figuring out how the Tennessee Titans are going to be on task. They haven't been in their facility for 2 weeks, man. And now they're traveling to go play a Tuesday night game. So it's off schedule. They didn't, I mean, there was doubt about this game probably up until till they took a test and passed tests yesterday. So it's just an odd circumstance. for the 3-0 Tennessee Titans. Obviously, we know what they're all about. It's Mike Vrabel. He's old school. They're going to run the ball, and maybe that helps them because it's not complicated. It's not, you know, we're going to get this defensive look. So we got to come up with these unique plays. They're just going to turn around and, you know, hope Derrick Henry bludgeons them to victory and then play sound defense and get turnovers and control the ball. But still, this one's baffling to me in a sense, and I'm looking forward to watching it because they're at a distinct disadvantage. 2 weeks without being, you know, on the football field, that's rough. And so it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be
so
a
you don't
good
you
one
don't think there's any doubt that the rest has crept into the rust factor. Has been mitigated, and the rust will be amplified.
That's right. It's crept into that rust factor. And
got
so
it.
Looking forward to the call on this game. Tom McCarthy, Jay Feely, our buddy's going to be
nice.
In it. I think earlier I said Beth, and I meant Beth Mowins because I did the game with her, but it's Deb Bullock,
the director,
who is the first NFL primetime game produced by
a woman. Directing.
She's producing it.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's fantastic. And it's going to be on CBS, so be sure to check it out.
And Jay's doing a great job. And obviously, Tom is, you know, a long pedigree with football, baseball as well. He's one of those really good voices.
He can do anything.
He can. So I put this, we're going to break here, get Axe update. Let this one marinate. Of the following quarterbacks for the next 7 to 10 seasons, all right, a little more than 1,800 votes. I put this up before the show on my account. Who are you choosing? Josh Allen. I left some off by design. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, Mahomes. But
did you put Herbert on there?
I did. Josh Allen, Herbert, Kyler Murray, and I threw Trevor Lawrence in. Trevor Lawrence, 39.2% of 1,800 votes now.
Been going on the unknown.
Correct. Kyler Murray, 16.4%.
Okay.
Justin Herbert, 17%.
Okay.
Josh Allen, 27.4%.
Okay.
And the two things, and I like Murray, but the two things that jump out to me, 40% of the voters are investing a large element of blind faith in Lawrence. He hasn't taken an NFL snap.
Yep.
So I can kind of quibble with that, but there's no way, and I like Kyler Murray, I can't take Kyler Murray over Justin Herbert.
Not right now.
I can't do that.
Not after seeing him play 4 games and look pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Even though they haven't won, which is a little bit troubling, but it's not all on him.
No, definitely not. They scored some points. He was throwing dimes. The one that Keenan Allen again, that was a great throw. The Hunter Henry throw was sick. Those were tough throws.
I know it.
Small windows.
And things he didn't do in college, by the way.
Didn't have to.
I know.
I hear you. All right, if you want to vote at Brandon Tierney, go give it a shot. Let's get Axe update. We'll come back. We'll hit you with the blast. That's next. Tiki and Tierney right now. We've got Axe. All right, interesting name back on the NBA coaching rumor. Tell you who it is and where it might be. We'll hit that in a minute. Get to the blast as well. First up, though, time now on Tiki and Tierney for the game plan for success brought to you by Napa. As we take a look at the BYU Cougars and their plan for success. So very quietly, BYU started the season 4-0. They're undefeated. It's good enough for 14th in the country. Now, they aired out a little bit back in the day, like with, Robbie Bosco? Is that what it was, BYU, back in the day? I know McMahon and some others, too, but Ty Detmer. But was it Robbie Bosco? Santer, check on that. Robbie Bosco, 86 or so. His stats were sick. I think it was Robbie Bosco. Anyway, junior quarterback Zach Wilson, averaging over 12 yards of completion with just one pick. He's been sacked just twice, so they're protecting him as they let him throw it, and that's a great recipe for BYU success. Whether you stop by locally on Napa Auto Parts, Napa Auto Care, or visit Napa online, if you need help with your ride, you can count on Napa know-how. Napa know-how. All right, Tiki and Tierney.
They got the best mascot in sport, too, by the way.
The best?
Cosmo. Cosmo is the joint. Cosmo the Cougar. You ever seen Cosmo? Go like YouTube video, Cosmo the Cougar.
Cosmo the Cougar.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of cool mascots. We're going to give that number one?
Yeah, this one, he or she, I don't know if it's a girl or a boy inside, is awesome. Just do it. Just watch. Just go watch.
I feel like I've seen it.
You have seen it. I know you have.
Is it a spike collar or no? Is it like Georgetown's?
No. No, forget the look. The cougar itself is cool, but the dancing and like the...
Hold on. I'll check it out. We're going to get down a rabbit hole on the show.
The stunting. I mean, it's pretty awesome, dude.
Satisfying. Okay. Robbie Bosco. Robbie Bosco in 85. Yeah, BYU. 66 completion percentage. That was pretty damn good in 85.
That is.
For almost 4,300 yards, 30 touchdowns. Also had 24 picks, but still. You ready for the blast, TC? See what we got?
Yeah, man.
Let's hit it.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
By the way, if you're like 1% of the audience who got the Robbie Bosco reference, props. Hmm. That was a pull from a long time ago.
24 picks.
Yeah. I conveniently forgot that. You know, finished third in the Heisman too, with 24 picks. So while the Vikings are scuffling this year, Dalvin Cook is not. He's on pace for 1,500 yards, but now he's got a groin injury, Teague. So the 0-5 Falcons are next before Minnesota's bye. So we wonder, should the Vikings maybe play it safe and rest Cook and let him get healthy until after the bye, or just throw him right back out there, provided it's not reckless? What would you do?
I'm going to say rest him. You don't need him to take every carry. And his backup, Madison, who is a big kid, man. He's like 6 foot and 220. He ran hard in Dalvin Cook's stead last weekend. So I would rest him because you don't want to risk making that thing last, you know, for much longer into the season, especially if you think you can win this game without him. You know, you save him for when you're really going to need him.
You know, I'm going to disagree, provided it's not bordering on, you know, medical recklessness here. Clearly, if the doc, you're not going to go against doctor's advice. I mean, if he's steadfast, he can't play. Gotcha. But I don't think Minnesota's good enough to look past anybody. Mm. And I know his backup's competent. Everybody's competent in the NFL if you give a little time to throw or a little space to run. I understand that. But the Falcons very well might, you know, be inspired. Look what happened. You know, I mean, 73-year-old Romeo Crennel stepped in for Bill O'Brien. They won the game.
Yeah, it's true.
So I listen. If the Vikings were 4-1 or 5-9, they're not. And there's just too many good teams in the NFC. So I say you got to attack this as a must-win game. So I would disagree with that, provided it's not reckless. All right, Teak, that team I don't mention anymore, the Bengals, the Jaguars, the Chargers, the Giants, the Vikings, the Falcons, Niners, all in last place in their respective division. So which cellar dweller is most surprising to us? Well, I mean, listen, you know, the team that everybody knows that drives me crazy, they're horrendous, so that shouldn't be a surprise. Mm-hmm. Bengals are not a surprise. We both picked them. They're a strong division.
Yep.
The Jaguars, we saw this coming a mile away. Chargers are talented but always in a tough division, and they should be better than Denver.
And hurt.
But they should be better than Denver. Yes. Denver's really hurt, too.
Yeah, you're right.
They should be better than Denver. It was either the Giants or Washington in the last place. I'm not stunned by that. I like the Vikings. Didn't love them. Listen, the biggest surprise would be the big surprise has to be the Falcons, because I think collectively we really just positioned Carolina as a full rebuild, and then McCaffrey goes down, but yet they won 3 straight.
I know.
I'll say the Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons are certainly one, but the 49ers were in the Super Bowl last year. The problem with saying the 49ers is that the excuse is it's easy to see. I mean, they've lost, what, 3 guys to the season on defense? Starters, like important players. Mostert was down. Jimmy Garoppolo was a shell of who he was.
Bosa.
The 2 wide receivers were out for a good part of the, you know, early part of the season. So I'm going to agree with you, BT. I think it's got to be the Falcons because I expected great improvement. Their defense got so good at the end of last year when they won 6 of 8. Mm-hmm. So, and Matt Ryan has weapons galore from Gage to Ridley and Julio Jones. So, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say it's the Falcons.
Okay. New Chicago Bulls head coach Billy Donovan fired 4 assistant coaches yesterday to make room for coaches of his choosing. Is this the best practice for a new coach in any sport?
Yeah. I mean, if you can do it and you have the Rolodex to do that, you absolutely should bring in your own staff so that they have your trust, you have their trust. It's not, you know, going to be any hangover or, you know, anything that could be detrimental to what you're trying to implement. Yeah, this is the smart way to do this.
Yeah, it's the smart way. And listen, if you're a coach and you've got some sort of juice like Billy's got, you're going to be able to get that written into your contract. I've got full autonomy. I want all these guys wiped out, and I want to bring in my people. And you have to give them the room to do that. But what I am against is just coming in and, you know, wiping people out for the sake of wiping them out without an honest evaluation. I'm okay with, even if it's one, if you deem that person to be an asset, a holdover from a staff that failed. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that if you really think that that person is bringing something to the table. And then instead of bringing in four new people, you bring in three and you mix and match. That's happened before, and people and teams have had success with that. But Billy's been around the block. He knows what works and he knows what doesn't. So you got to respect it. Let him do his thing. All right. Padres outfielder Tommy Pham was stabbed in the lower back during an altercation. He was at a strip club on Sunday night, but he's reportedly in good condition. No organs. It pierced all three layers of skin, but thankfully no organs. He's going to be fine. He's in good condition. Do pro athletes need to use extra precaution when going out in public? You know, truth of the matter is I read the details of the story, and it wasn't anything that happened in the club. It wasn't anything that, you know, he was reckless or he was sloppy or, you know, he said something to a girl and somebody took issue with it. None of that. He was just trying to get, allegedly or reportedly, mm-hmm. trying to get into his car, and these two other guys were scrapping near his car, and I guess maybe he was too forceful, I don't know, but he said, hey, I'm trying to get in my car or whatever, and then what was happening with those two other guys quickly turned on him. So, put it this way, you're in your 30s, in the year 2020, nothing good's going to happen in a strip club. There's nothing good that's going to happen.
Yeah, especially
nothing good.
Especially if they know who you are and they know you have money and you're driving a nice car. Not that you should be in, you know, target for whatever, but still, nothing's going to happen. I agree with you.
Yep.
These things don't happen at, like, Starbucks to these athletes. It always happens at a strip club.
Listen, if they're out of Pike, I mean, I've seen some meltdowns here. Rafael Nadal tied Roger Federer, 20 Grand Slam titles, crushing Novak Djokovic in straight sets this Sunday to win his 13th, which is a record, French Open. Nadal 24-16 all-time versus Federer, but he's got 20 fewer tournament wins. All right, so while we're not tennis experts, I'm not. Maybe Tiki's got a little more on this than me. I don't think so. Maybe with the racing you do. I don't know if you have a ton of tennis intel. Mm. Maybe you do. But Nadal has now passed Federer as the greatest male player ever in our minds.
I'm going to say out
Take
of bounds.
Take this with a grain of salt.
This is an inbounds or out of bounds, but I'm going to say it's out. I don't believe this. Rafael Nadal is a clay court specialist. I mean, I think he's won every... I can't remember the streak, but he doesn't lose on clay. So, like, it's all clay. So, of course he's going to win, you know, the French. So I'm going to say no. I still think Federer is there.
That's my answer as well. You know, the head-to-head aspect is very interesting for sure.
Yeah,
but
it is.
You're talking 20 more tournaments. I mean, that's significant, man. Imagine, like, if you're trying to have some sort of connection with golf, like with majors, which is more up my alley for sure. I can give you a little more historical context here. But my first instinct was Federer, and I'll stick with that. There you go. Bills 3.5 points. By the way, Sharp Tierney covered last night. We had the over in the Saints Chargers game, 6-4 on the week. So we're treading water in a tough season. Doing all right. Teak, have a great great night. Bills at the Titans. Quick, go.
I'm gonna go Bills.
Me too. Safe, sensible, sane, mask up. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.